to the truck and call Gabe at the house. Tell him to meet us out front. Casey hurried off while Sawyer considered the situation. The woman was out cold, her head slumped over the steering wheel, her body limp. The back seat of the car was filled with taped cardboard boxes and luggage, some of which had tumbled forward, landing awkwardly against her. A few open crates had dumped, and items, bric-a-brac, books, and framed photos, were strewn about. It was obvious she'd been packed up for a long trip, or a permanent one. Sawyer reached for her delicate wrist and was rewarded to feel a strong pulse. Her skin was velvety smooth, warm to the touch. He carefully placed her hand back in her lap, keeping it away from the icy cold water. It took some doing, but he got the driver's door wedged open. If the car had surged a little deeper into the lake, he never would have managed it. More water flooded in. The woman moaned and turned her head, pushing away from the steering wheel, then dropping forward again. Her easy, unconscious movements assured Sawyer she had no spinal or neck injuries. After moving the fallen objects away from her, he carefully checked her slender arms, slipping his fingers over her warm flesh, gently flexing each elbow, wrist, and shoulder. He drew his hands over her jeans-clad legs beneath the water, but again found no injuries. Her lips parted, and she groaned, a rasping, almost breathless sound of pain. Frowning, Sawyer examined the swelling bump on her head. He didn't like it that she was still out, and her skin felt a little too warm, almost feverish. Casey came to a skidding, sloshing halt beside him, sending waves to lap at Sawyer's waist. His gaze was narrowed with concern on the woman's face.
Gabe offered to bring you your bag, but I told him I'd call him back if you needed it.
He spoke in a whisper, as if afraid of disturbing her.
We're taking her to the house with us, aren't we?
Looks like. If she didn't come too, on the way to the house, he'd get her over to the hospital. But that was a good hour away, and most people in Buckhorn chose him over the hospital anyway, unless the situation was truly severe. And even then, it was generally his call. He'd decide what to do after he determined the extent of her injuries. But first things first, he needed to get her out of the car and away from the debilitating effects of the cold water and hot sun. Luckily, they weren't that far away from the house. He owned 50 acres, thick with trees and scrub bushes and wildflowers. The lake, long and narrow like a river, bordered the back of his property for a long stretch of shore. The 10 acres surrounding the house and abutting the lake were kept mowed, and though it couldn't be called an actual road, there was a worn dirt path where they often brought the truck to the cove to fish or swim. Today, they'd driven down to make repairs to a worn fence. A crooked smile tipped up one side of his mouth. Thanks to the lady, the repairs to the fence were now more necessary than ever. Sawyer carefully slid one arm beneath her legs, the other behind the small of her back. Her head tipped toward him, landing softly on his bare, sweaty shoulder. Her hair was a deep, honey blonde, with lighter sun streaks framing her face. It smelled of sunshine and woman, and he instinctively breathed in the scent, letting it fill his lungs. Her hair was long enough to drag across the car seat as he lifted her out.
Grab her keys and purse, then get the shirt I left by the fence.
He needed to cover her, and not only to counter the chill of the lake water. He was almost ashamed to admit it, even to himself. But he'd noticed right off that her white t-shirt was all but transparent with the dousing she'd taken. And she wasn't wearing a bra. He easily shook that observation from his mind. Even with her clothes soaked, the woman weighed next to nothing. But still, it was an effort to climb the small embankment out of the lake without jarring her further. She'd lost one thin sandal in the wreck, and now the other fell off with a small splash. The mud squished beneath Sawyer's boots, making for unsure footing. Casey scrambled out ahead, then caught at Sawyer's elbow, helping to steady him. Once they were all on the grassy embankment, Casey ran off to follow the rest of his instructions.